Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete.
Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and I am joined by Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on today's show, we're talking about the next step, which is the documentation side of things and how doing so will give us newfound clarity and keep us on course as our business grows. So, Sherry, clarity, not often easy to keep top of mind.
That's right. Well, we addressed a little earlier in the month what a good strategy's bottom line was. And we came to the conclusion, from my perspective, that if you do have a competitive advantage, you're ahead of the game. And if you don't have a competitive advantage, don't compete, at least not yet, until you realize that you do have an area in which you do have a competitive advantage. So we're going to assume that we've arrived at that point, and today I'm going to give you a bit of, again, a template of if you took a page, a blank page, and divided it into four sections and made the left half the yes side and the right half the no side, we're going to provide a template for that for you in the downloadable section. But that's what I want to talk about, a strategic planning goals grid, because we do get to go to goals. We do get to talk much more about what you want that you don't yet have. And also, we're going to address what you don't have and don't want, because a lot of times when we're making changes or pivoting or branching out, we run into things that we haven't had to encounter before and we're not too interested in taking them on. So today we're going to talk about what do we actually want to achieve and getting down to more of the specifics about that. But in the meantime, what do we also want to avoid? And we'll also be talking some about what you want to preserve that you already have and you want to keep. And in our case, Jennifer, we probably always had that in the back of our mind about family and our current lifestyle in contrast to our home lifestyle, in contrast to our business lifestyle. And the last thing is there something we actually want to eliminate that we have but we don't want any longer? And that's when we are ready to make transitions. So does any of this sound familiar to you?
It does, you know, and I also think that sometimes we have to give ourselves permission to let go of those things that no longer suit us. And that can be a tough thing because we've done it so well for a while, and or even though we don't enjoy it, we can do it. And so being able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you can let this go, is kind of a simple but powerful thing.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we have one major advantage being human. We have a body that will remind us and nudge us and sometimes bother us if we are drifting into territory that is infringing upon our balance or whatever is status quo for us that we're comfortable with or that we actually like and want to retain. Sometimes we're also fortunate, and I know in my case and in your case, we have both mentioned our sons in our case, and both of us have two sons, and sometimes they're the reminder for us when we forget. And sometimes we don't even know we're forgetting, but they're noticing that we're forgetting, and it's impinging sometime on them and their quality of life with us. And we're fortunate that both of our sons have been honest with us at times when that's happening. So in terms of the first entries on your strategic planning goals grid under yes, there's a chance to document under the achieve column. That's on the left side, What do I want I don't have? And that's kind of when the dreaming passion end of it comes up. If you actually find yourself getting to something every single day or at least every single week and nothing is going to keep you from that, that's the kind of thing that would go there. Jennifer, in my case, I like to try to reserve, though it doesn't seem apparent to most people, a minimum of 30% of my time, ideally 40% when I can get that, of white space, unoccupied, kind of like me time. It's not necessarily only going to be focused on what I want, but what do I need and feel more comfortable having. In our case, when I'm preparing for something like this, for example, I don't book anything else that I don't really, really have to book in the morning in advance of when we're going to do this showtime. And then I also leave some time afterward for reflection, note-taking, and catching up. So have you figured out in your schedule, when you are on an achieving path, what do you need to run tandem with that to help give you some insurance that you're going to be achieving what it is you're setting out to take on?
Yeah, you know, for me, I will say my calendar is kind of the guide to my life. And when I look at my calendar and it's overwhelmingly busy, I also notice that those are the times when I am least satisfied. And that doesn't mean that I don't like being busy. I like a lot of the, obviously I'm focused in on the things that I enjoy, but I have learned to give my calendar room to breathe. And in that way, I have room to breathe. And so I have days that I purposely kind of leave blank. And only because I know that things will come up last minute. And if I absolutely have to, if there's no other spot for those places to fit, I can put one or two items in those kind of breathing days, and I won't get overwhelmed. But if I have every single day so booked, and then one of those unexpected things happens, that is when I start to, you know, become less satisfied with what's going on around me. So I will say my calendar is a good indication of just how well I'm doing overall, because it is a good indicator of room to breathe and space versus not having room to breathe and having space.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And so you're using it both as a progressive kind of a what-if tool and what-when tool, and also to help you keep some structure, some solid structure under you, but it also naturally provides some built-in flexibility for you. I do the same thing. So in my yes column, I like having structure. I like having a calendar. I like being able to go to it and count on it to provide support for me. And at the same time, I like flexibility. And I don't like saying no when I don't have to. I'm graceful at saying no in such a way and often enough where I don't let too many of the yeses crowd, you know, what's going on like you. But I also want to avoid not having specific times both in the morning and in the afternoon where I can say yes spontaneously when an opportunity or an adventure or something I really do want to explore comes up. So these kind of work, this left side and right side of our day, the yes side for me, and in this case of this particular template, the right side is the no side of avoid or what don't I want that I don't have already and I don't want to add. And it also comes up for me that this can relate sometime to my values. Like when I say yes, I want to make sure it's not going to add something that's kind of going to impinge on or ding or dent a value also that I hold. So I have a value about accessibility and staying available. And I'm like on call for some of my clients who never do abuse that. But when they do want some time with me unexpectedly, I always, like you, want to have a place that I can fit that in. So no, I can't right now, but yes, I can later this afternoon, you know, type thing. So what are some of the things you want to preserve In as you're evolving in your success, and as you're getting deeper and deeper ground, more deeply grounded in your current, you know, career, what are some of the things you're keeping in mind on your let's preserve this part of your calendar?
You know, I get a little pushback on this, and I'm glad you asked this question, because I kind of am at a point where I feel very strongly about this direction, but I am getting folks who are telling me I need to rethink this. And so I have three focuses in my business. I have a focus of podcast production. I have a focus of live events, you know, and that includes being a social media reporter or running social media lounges at those events. And then I also have a focus for social media. And when if when I tell that, you know, they say, talk to me about your business, I go, it has three components. I get pushback from folks who say, no, you can't do three things. You have to focus in on one. And I'm like, you have no idea that I focus down on three.
Yeah, they don't know you.
They don't know me, right? I'm like, this is me being focused. But I hear what they're saying. I understand the logic of really high, you know, niching and focusing in one space and really being known for the one thing. But so if I had to pick one thing, I would be I would be dissatisfied with my business and my life overall, because those three things feed me and excite me. So I'm kind of one of those folks that I don't know. I mean, I like those three pieces of my business. I enjoy the heck out of them, and I don't want to kiss any of them goodbye. I've kissed other things goodbye just to focus in on these three. So I'm kind of at that interesting stage.
Yeah. Well, I think when people do push back on with you on that, they don't know your history. They don't know you've paid your dues in depth in each of those three areas, and now it's your time to frolic at choice in each one. I would think, and I've seen you at events, you know, before where you, most people probably wouldn't even know that you were in charge of some specific aspect behind the scenes, not quite so visible, but it will be visible ultimately in the fabric and thread of the play out of the whole event. But like, for example, I was at something you were doing a live stream of, and I didn't realize that's what you were doing. It just looked to me in the beginning like you were a participant in that, and I knew you were going to be a presenter later in the day, but you also had a live streaming responsibility, and you were doing two things more or less simultaneously or in tandem, you know, together, and they wouldn't realize that you have a real gift for that. So when I go to a meeting, for example, people like a lot of times like to see my list of what I'm going to, because they want to go to. For one reason, one of my agenda items is going to any meeting or any kind of activity or organizational event is that I'm going to learn something new, and almost always I'm going to pair that with seeing someone that I enjoy spending time with and will have an opportunity to see again. And so I have two different things I'm going for. And then a third aspect for me about attending something, because life's busy, and as you know, in Austin, you get your choice of many things every day and every night that you could go to. My third takeaway is not to leave there without making some kind of an arrangement for follow-up of some kind, either in my learning category or in my relationship category, too. Now, I don't wear a sign that says I'm there on agenda, but I am. And this is one of the reasons the people that we do more in-depth work with get to know us pretty well, because you and I probably have agendas in the good sense for most of the times when we're showing up somewhere.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And it changes from time to time, but as long as it sticks to the core things for me, then it's on target and it's on. You know, Sherry, one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, when there's so many good things happening, as you said, in Austin, there's probably an event that would be exciting and interesting to go to probably almost every hour of the day. How do you do choice? How are you selective? Because then you can have overwhelm and too much sensory input where you can't actually take action on those pieces.
Yeah. Well, we do have to, because we have the university, and the university uses public grants and public buildings for so much stuff, they have to keep it open to the public. So I do have criteria, and it is that I'm either taking someone or joining someone there that I want to spend some time with, or there is a crucial kind of a learning edge for me that I'm pushing or sharpening, and that I will be learning something like that. Or sometime I have a responsibility to deliver, and then that will take priority for at least part of the event or part of the meeting. And so I do have some things I'm thinking about when I say yes and when I calendar. Like I have something this afternoon that I would love to go do because I'm a gardening addict too, and I may or may not get to that. And so I did that with a tentative yes. And so people don't necessarily expect me to show up there, but if I do show up there and there's some group, it's a group learning thing, you know, I'll definitely be a participant, but I may not go if everything this morning doesn't fall in place the way it's supposed to or the way I think I do. So I keep a little caveat in the background for some of the things. And it's along with the template and the downloadable that we're going to provide, the purpose of which is to help you kind of self-reflect, self-facilitate, document for yourself, organize for yourself, clarify, and classify. And then on the back of that, I have a set of key questions about once you arrive at your new operational executing level, what will all this give you that you don't already have? That's one of the kinds of things to think about. So a lot of building your business once is pre-thought. Some degree of pre-planning, and so as things do unfold, we have some sense of direction, or we're kind of bringing a compass with us that is flexible. At the same time, it can be providing directional support there. So I am open to any other questions you might have this morning.
Well, I don't want to miss anything that's on the grid because, folks, what we recommend that you do is that you take a look at the grid while Sherry's talking, while we're doing this show, because it will help make sense of everything. I really want to make sure that we hit on that because someone may look at the grid and they look at the key questions and they may be like, I'm not quite sure. So I really want to focus in on make sure that we've hit all those targets.
Okay. Well, this particular one is going to have a left side and a right side. The top half of it's going to be what you do, yes, want to achieve, and what you do want to avoid. The bottom half on the left is going to be about what you want to preserve and what you want to keep. And on the right side of the bottom, it's going to be what you want to eliminate or don't want to have that you don't already have. And so we're giving some thought ahead of time to our goal setting. It's not just always going far. It's sometimes putting a kind of a safety net or a prevention in place as well. And for next time, I'm going to talk about powerful questions and significant inquiries. And they fall right in line with an extension of what we were doing today, but they give you a little bit more help if you want to DIY, if you want to become your own coach. This is a way to get kind of some echoes in your head. Like, for example, you and I both have had coaches, and we both currently have people that are our go-to people as well. And I can hear their voices in my head when I have something come up and they don't happen to be accessible. I don't know about you. Do you have that experience?
I do. One of the biggest challenges for me was to really defend my business or defend, that may be the wrong word, but to really stand up for the things that we do and we do extremely well and that have high value that others may not have understood or seen the value. And so she really helped me kind of have the languaging and have the confidence to stand up for the things that we do. And it really transitioned my business. So nowadays, and at first it was very uncomfortable to do that. It was like, that doesn't sound like me. I don't know if I can do it, but she coached me into doing it. And then once I started taking those steps, my business just blossomed and grew. And I was like, ooh, that works. So now when I encounter a situation where someone doesn't understand the value proposition, I can hear all that coaching and I am able to do the things that I need to do and say the things that I need to say in order to get that across. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. And good coaches are going to be that. They are going to be someone that can be there for you even when they're not there physically.
Right, yeah. Early on, I had a real challenge finding a coach that understood the basic nature of an entrepreneur because we're higher risk takers than a lot of other people, and that makes some coaches really uncomfortable. So I can yeah. appreciate, yeah. And you're talking about setting a stretch goal that somebody else set with you, for you, mm-hmm. and then held you to until the stretch became normal and natural for you, and then there'd be another stretch goal. So, all right, are we done for today?
We are done for today. I absolutely love these shows. They're so much fun. There's so much to learn, so much to do, so much growth potential. And really, these things are just the basis for how any one of our listeners can really take these steps, and it will be the good foundational piece for how you can transition your business and how, as Sherry says, you can build your business once.
Okay. Talk to you next time, tomorrow.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.